A Well-Mannered Storm, the Glenn Gould poems from poet, writer Kate Braid. It contains an imagined correspondence from a fan of Glenn Gould's, writing letters to Glenn, simply identifying themselves as Kay, and a series of poems, well, imagined poems, from Glenn Gould. And Kate Braid is in the studio with me this morning. Good morning, Kate.
Good morning, Cheryl.
It puts you in quite a mood, doesn't it, just listening to that beginning of the Goldberg Variations?
That's what I was thinking. I was sort of lost there for a minute. Yeah.
Did you listen to the music a lot as you were writing this book?
Oh, yeah. Over and over. I must say I was a bit fanatic. At one point, I had 6 versions of the Goldberg Variations in my car.
Do you have a favorite?
That one, actually.
The first one.
The aria from the Goldberg Variations is sort of my desert island music.
Right. And what were you doing that for? Why were you immersing yourself in this music as you were writing? What kind of an inspiration was the music giving you as you were working through this book?
When I started this book, I knew nothing about Bach. In fact, I didn't like classical music. So it was a bit of a surprise to me when I wrote the first poem that got this whole thing started. It actually happened thanks to CBC. I had been listening on September 25th, 2002, which would have been his 70th birthday. And CBC played a lot of material that day about his life and interviews of him and a lot of his music. And I happened to be in my car a lot, and I was made quite curious. And as I say, I'd never liked Bach. I didn't get Bach. I wrote a poem a couple of weeks later that I realized, somewhat to my surprise, was in his voice, and it made me curious.
In the voice of Glenn Gould.
Yes,
right.
In Gould's voice. So I started listening, and I must say, I still didn't get Bach until I listened intensely, and Gould wrote an essay where he talked about Bach, and he said, most of us are trained to listen to the romantic composers like late Beethoven and Mozart and those people who really told a story. He said they wrote in a horizontal way. So in the same way a story would have a beginning and then a climax and then an end, we listen to music for that. But he said Bach didn't write horizontally. He wrote vertically. He wrote in each moment, everything was there.
Hmm.
And so the next time I listened to Bach, I listened more carefully. And Gould was right. I cried. I was so moved that I finally had an entry into that music. And I'm now a fanatic on Bach.
To the point where you're traveling with Bach all the time.
I do, yeah.
So let's go back to that first poem that came out after listening to the piece on CBC. What did you make of that then? Did you know that this was going to turn into a series at that point? What was the genesis of this project, this book?
The short answer is no. I had no idea this would be a series. I had actually, this was a few weeks after that CBC day, after what would have been Gould's birthday. And I was watching a video of Cuban jazz, actually. And I started getting this poem in my mind that had to do with the comparison of jazz to classical music, sort of comparing it from, jazz would be maybe North American forest, this wild forest, and Bach would be European forest, planted, trees in straight rows. And in fact, that poem didn't entirely make it into the book. But at the end of the poem, I realized, somewhat to my surprise, I had written in Gould's voice.
Mm.
And then those poems just kept coming. And it was quite a bit later that the fan letters started to come.
How did you know it was Gould's voice?
It was just quite clear to me.
Mm-hmm.
I had been listening to a bit of Bach, and I had been, I guess that program just kept resonating in my mind for a few weeks. And also at the end, the last line, which did stay in the book, was he says, blood, what blood? I am Bach. And I knew that was Gould.
Now, Kate, you hadn't been interested in Bach particularly before, or in classical music. Had you been interested in Glenn Gould? I mean, he was such a personality, you know, even if for people who didn't follow classical music for so many years in Canada. Had he been on your wavelength at that time?
No, not at all. As I say, it came almost entirely from...
from that show.
Yeah, thank you, CBC, for putting that on.
Now that you mentioned the fan letters, I'd like to talk about the structure of this book, because they are the imagined letters and the imagined poems. Can you talk a bit about that conversation that takes place between the two?
Yeah, Glenn was a wonderful correspondent with his fans, very generous with fans, and would write long letters to people who wrote in, sometimes with seemed like obvious questions that would get very interesting answers. And I had been going through a lot of personal sort of challenges at the time, and one of them was that I had lost hearing in one of my ears very suddenly. It's called sudden deafness. And somehow that fit in, although not immediately. It took me a while. Originally, I just wrote a couple of fan letters, and they were from a woman who happened to be a carpenter, which happens to be what I used to do. And she connected with Gould on the basis of structure, you know, taking little individual notes and making music as compared to taking individual bits of wood and making a house. And Gould was, as Bach was fascinated by structure, architecture, he called it. And so it started that way. And then I had shown the poems to a friend of mine, Betsy Warland, another poet. And Betsy said, wasn't there something else going on in your life at the time you were writing these? And I said, well, you know, this was happening and that was happening. Quite a bit was happening. And I said, oh, yeah. And then I went deaf. And we both looked at each other, deaf in one ear. And I thought, oh, my gosh, that's my connection. Because when I went deaf in one ear, I began intensely listening to Gould and music and classical music and particularly Bach. So the fan letters, I went home and started madly writing fan letters from a deaf fan or someone who had this sudden experience. And in the book, what she's trying to do is reconcile herself. At first, she fights it very hard and goes to all kinds of doctors. And she writes to Gould, who doesn't exactly write back, but who echoes her struggles with his own. He did have a lot of struggles, and always his resolution was in his music. His ecstasy was in his playing. And so he struggles, too, with his health. He was a terrible hypochondriac.
His obsessive behaviors.
Yeah. His concerns about his family and his unhappiness as a child and his unhappiness with his audiences. He stopped very early performing because he couldn't stand audiences. Loved the theater. And then how he moved into doing radio programs.
Right. And these are all reflected in the poems as you go through the book. Would you read one of the fan letters, just so listeners can get a bit of a sense of what that correspondence sounds like in the book?
Sure. This is one of the earliest fan letters where she's just experienced her deafness. Dear Glenn, my mom's surgery went well, but yes, it's been a rough year. After her diagnosis, I went deaf in one ear. It happened overnight. A cold, my doctor said, and prescribed antibiotics, more antibiotics, and finally a hearing test. Permanent inner ear damage, the specialist said, and turned away. What does that mean? I've made an appointment with another doctor. Then, for some reason I can't remember, I played your recording of the Goldbergs. I turned my right ear, the good one, to the speaker, and when the piece was over, I was curled in front of that speaker, crying. What did I hear? What did you say? What did Bach, that I had to listen again, over and over? Isn't it a miracle that when I lost half my hearing, Bach changed too? I dare to say, your friend, Kay.
Would you like to read the poem that responds to that as well?
They don't exactly respond, but he does talk about why Bach. I'll read that one. So this is in Gould's voice. Why Bach? Shelter, of course. Solid a Chartre. Certainty the sky will not fall as you rest under the pillars of such harmony. Stained glass and light, a blessing. Here are elegant black-mounted marble steps, entryway. Choose any room you want. Kitchen, warm with wainscoting, a solid chair rail to catch you if you fall, and there a quiet corner for thought, buttressed by books. Who, fastidious, would not want to live here? Even the messy and careless find shelter, especially the careless. Enter here. Amid such order, see how the languid toss of a scarf, scarlet against the warm brown of polished wood, cool slate. See how the outline of silk on stone startles. Suddenly you've never seen such silk. Close your eyes. Rest. If you wish, you can hide inside these walls and still take in everything. Here, you are safe.
Mm. You can hear the music in that poem.
Oh, good.
As a writer, what's it like for you? Books of poetry of yours that I've read, you're writing often in your own voice, but here in the voice of somebody else, consistently through the book, in the voice of the fan, who may or may not be you, mm-hmm. but in the voice of Glenn Gould. And what is that like for you as a writer to sustain that?
It's hard. It was hard, I guess, keeping the boundary between the two of us. And I fell over a few times, and I got sick, actually, a few times. And friends would sort of haul me back and help me keep the distinctions between the two of us.
What do you mean you got sick? You mean you physically got ill?
I physically got really ill. Yeah, I collapsed. In fact, it was a bit spooky. I collapsed. I got very sick when I was in Toronto doing a reading. And I had actually gone there to do research on Gould in the archives and later on in the Toronto CBC archives and later in Ottawa. And but I got sick before I could start, collapsed overnight, and managed to stagger home. And for about 3 or 4 months, I was utterly exhausted. I couldn't stand up. I couldn't read. I couldn't talk on the telephone. All I could do was listen to music.
Oh, my heavens.
Yeah. And what was a bit spooky about it was that Glenn had collapsed once in Europe, in Hamburg, and was sick for a month there, stayed there. And he said it was the happiest time of his life, being alone in a foreign city where no one knew where he was or could talk to him. And at that point, I thought, no, I'm not Glenn Gould. I want to go home.
The line was clear.
The line there was very clear.
Was it hard when you finished the series to not be in Glenn Gould's voice anymore when you were writing?
No. I'd say it was a relief, actually. We separated amicably. And I was very happy to have a book. But I felt like it was finished, my exploration of him and his life. And of course, there are always overlaps, which I didn't realize how much I could explore things in my life that I hadn't really noticed or seen or thought about, except I realized that there were similarities in his life. And so I was really, I mean, I realized in hindsight I was exploring parts of my own life.
Can you
his.
Give an example?
Well, I think there was a sort of sadness in his music that was something that I had been going through. There had been a lot of loss in my life at that time, including the loss of my hearing. And there was a sadness that I felt reflected in him that I got to explore.
Through the writing.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. It's interesting where writing takes one.
Yes, one never knows. That's the adventure. It's sort of like hurling yourself off a cliff and saying, okay, I hope the parachute works.
Kate, I'm just looking at the clock here and realizing we have very little time left, but I'm wondering if there is another poem that I could ask you to read for us.
Sure. Well, maybe I'll read a poem called The Goldberg Variations. There are a few of them in this book, and it's the 1905 variation, which is the one you played as an entry, and I believe you're going to play after.
Mm-hmm.
And this is probably one of the Goldberg Variations was my favorite piece, although probably my most favorite was the 81. It's one of the few pieces he recorded twice. He recorded the first variation in 1955 at the very beginning, first recording of his career, and it turned out that the 81 recording was the last recording of his career. So this is the Goldberg Variations, 1955. Aria, which was the piece we first heard, is the empty platter, white, on which is served color, sound sweet as dusky dark figs, tart as limes, round as apples, each flavor its own course. The variations, an entire meal and the conversation around it, the click and clip of the tongue, dentals hard white and smooth, tongue rolling around the curl of an unshaved cheek. Imagine it, the licorice and peppermint of piano keys, sweet and savory of Bach. Variation 15 in particular. If there is loss, you can act as if in control, stepping carefully, matter of fact, between the lines of your life. If your feet feel heavy, you tell yourself, it's all in the head, the heart, and carry on, eyes fixed. If a tear falls, you say, fog. Something has fallen into you. Count your steps. You are growing a garden of heartaches. Do it well. Tend it. When rain falls, open your arms.
And Kate, I'm going to have to stop us there. We're just about out of time here. Thank you so much. Thanks for coming in to talk about this.
Thank you.
And thanks for this wonderful book from Caitlin Press. It's called A Well-Mannered Storm, The Glenn Gould Poems by Kate Braid.